Bible friends, is a book that you really do need to get acquainted with. The Bible, of course, in its entirety is it's a good news that God has revealed to us. And of course, we come to that one of those occasions in our calendar when we are reminded of that good news, the phenomenal thing that God has done in giving us His Son, but not only in giving Him. What he gave. Hello, my dear. How are you? How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good. Giving him up too. I suppose. Well, it'll depend really on your working pattern. But if you have what we would call a normal week, then Friday would be. In your estimate of things, Friday would be a good day because, well, it's the end of the week and the weekend of leisure and pleasure looms before you. But of course, there are some Fridays that are better than others. Tomorrow, of course, we'll be reminded that it's a Good Friday. So what is Good Friday, what's it all about? Well, as you read the media, as you listen even to some inverted commas religious people, you would wonder perhaps, is it about eggs? Is it about chocolate? We live in a day and generation, unfortunately, when people are totally ignorant about these things, the very basics of what God has revealed to us. Were you to ask many of our children, young people who have never been schooled in these things, some of the answers that you would get would range from ridiculous to the blasphemous. However, the information, the knowledge that you need to understand these things and the importance of them is to be found in the Bible and in the Bible alone, because that is God's authoritative revelation. You find it nowhere else. And that's why week by week and again this week we offer to you a copy of an extract from the Bible. Here, reading Luke's or Mark's Gospel, you'll get a good picture of what the good news and what it really is all about. Were you to ask many Christians in this day and generation, I don't suppose you would get a very clear answer as to what the Gospel, the good news, is about. Well, it says simply that Christ, Jesus Christ, that is, died for sinners just as the Old Testament of the Bible predicted that he would. And then, of course, was buried, raised again after the third day, again just as the Old Testament of the Bible predicted that he would. In another place you can read, for instance, God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. And then, of course, here, right in front of you, these words straight out of the Bible, Christ died for the ungodly. It tells you who the good news is about. It tells you what the good news is about. It's about a person, and that person is Jesus Christ, God's Son. It tells you what He did, He died, and it tells you who He died for. He died for the ungodly. So the gospel, the good news, you see, it's a message about salvation, message about redemption. It's a message of salvation from a certain and a known danger, and that danger, of course, that lurks within each and every one of us, yourself and myself. Sin, hearts that are contrary to God, deceitful and desperately wicked, is how God identifies the human heart. But of course, contrary to the gospel, the good news about Jesus, we have much that parades itself as the gospel but isn't. You have a world full of religion, you know as well as I do. And of course, you're always telling us how destructive religion is. Well, we would agree with you on that. But it's the gospel, it's the good news about a person, about Jesus Christ who died for ungodly sinners. That's the gospel, not religion. And of course, people are always wanting something else, you know. In the Bible, there's an account of Jesus where He performs an amazing miracle where He feeds thousands of people. He produces bread. As we read in the Bible, God is wont to do. He produces things out of nothing. And of course, only God can do that. He did that in the beginning when He created the heavens and the earth. He brought them into being out of nothing. An act of creation, an act, of course, divine, an act that only God Himself can do. Well, on this occasion, Jesus, He produced this bread, you see, and fed the thousands of people. And of course, from that point on, many people chased after Him because, well, not because they wanted Jesus, not because they wanted the good news, not because they saw themselves as sinful and contrary to God, but because they wanted more bread. And of course, well, there are people who present Jesus Christ in those terms today. That if you follow Him, that if you come to Him, He'll give you everything wonderful and well. He'll fill up your bank account. He'll prosper you no end. And, well, you'll never know sickness again because He'll heal you of your every sneeze and your every malady. But, of course, that's not the gospel, that's not the good news about Jesus Christ. As I began, the Bible tells us, explains to us quite clearly what the gospel is. It's a message of salvation from sin, our alienation from God. It's God's means of reconciling us to Himself and restoring us to a right relationship, a broken relationship with Him. And nowhere, of course, in the Bible are we promised prosperity, and nowhere in the Bible are we presented with a salvation, a relationship that will bring about no sickness, no pain, and of course, no poverty. Well, when Jesus challenged these people who wanted all kinds of things from Him, and there are many such today, and of course, if they don't get what they want, they think in terms of God presenting them with a blank check, and when they don't get what they think that they need or want, well, they turn away from it saying, well, it doesn't work. Well, because it's never what God promised. The people on that occasion, they asked Jesus what it was that God wanted them to do. And his answer to them was simply this: to believe, faith that is, in the one whom God had sent. That is Jesus himself. In another place in the Gospels, again, you can read and see for yourself, Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, in response to a plea from a man who has a son who is utterly controlled by evil powers and forces, turning to Jesus, asking him for help. If you can do anything, he said, please help us. And Jesus, in reply to the man, said, if you can, all things are possible to the one who believes. The all things possible, of course, being salvation, deliverance from that evil, and deliverance, of course, from the sin that separates us from God. But the question is, what does Jesus mean by believing? Believing what? And believing what about Jesus? Well, believing, first and foremost, that he and he alone is the one who is able to deal with the forces, the powers of darkness and evil, and to deal with the evil of sin that brings all the suffering and the poverty into the world. You see, it's faith in Jesus that deals with original sin. That first sin, you see, that brought the suffering, all the pain, the agony, and the death into the world that we see so clearly manifest in the world today. It's faith in Jesus Christ, you see, that attacks that sin, that deals with it, goes to the root of the matter, and of course deals with its consequences, alienation from God, reconciling us to God. So Jesus, he means believing in him and in him alone. I know that many of you, from the cradle, you've been taught, well, in this generation at least anyway, well, it doesn't matter what you believe, you know. You can believe in any one of the religions. They all have the same root anyway, and of course they all end up in the same place. In the education system, they call it comparative religion, you know. Just take your pick, anyone at all will do. They all end up in the same place with the one God. Well, of course, that's not what the Bible teaches, and neither is it what Jesus Christ teaches. When he bids people to put their faith, their trust in him, he means believing that he and he alone and nobody else can bring about this deliverance, this salvation from evil and from the evil of sin. Nobody else can do that. Why? Well, because it was he and he alone who died on Good Friday. Yes, there were many thousands, I dare say, of men who were slaughtered on Roman crosses in those days, but there was only one who was the Son of God. There was only one who died for sinners, only one who died an atoning death. That is a death for others. You see, Jesus was not dying for crimes that he had done. He was not dying for sins that he had committed. He was dying for the sins of the world. He was making peace by his shedding his blood on the cross, a peace which needs to be consciously and deliberately, by faith on your part, needs to be received. You have to enter into that peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. But he, and he alone, you see, can do the business. So when he says, if you can, believe, that is, all things are possible. Your deliverance from evil, your deliverance from sin, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and through him alone, no other. He says in another place, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And of course, the definite article, the, makes it exclusive. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. There is no other way but by Jesus. And there is no other truth outside of the good news of the Bible to be found anywhere. The only trustworthy information that you have to lead you to God and reconcile you to God. The good news of the Bible, the gospel of your salvation. So believing in Jesus and believing in Jesus alone that will bring salvation. Elsewhere in the Bible, we read that there is no other name that is under the entire, the whole canopy of heaven. Wherever you come from, whatever your background, your color, your creed, or anything else, salvation is to be found in no other name. This name and this name alone. You can come to God with any name that you, religious name or otherwise, that you care to choose. Allah, Muhammad, Confucius, or Buddha, or any other that you can think of. But God will not honor such names, recognize such names. Only through Christ and through Christ alone, I alone am able to deliver you from this evil, from sin. But then, of course, Jesus means to, in believing on him, he means believing, that is, that he is able, that he has the ability to do this thing, to bring forgiveness to you, to bring salvation to you. And of course, dying on the cross on that Good Friday, as we now call it, there were two thieves, you see, murderers, actually, either side of him, of his cross. And one of them, of course, at the last, almost the last breath, turned to Jesus and asked if he would remember him when he came into his kingdom. And he was assured immediately that that very day he would be in paradise. Forgiveness was immediately his the moment, the second that he turned in faith to Jesus. And then, of course, as Jesus was dying, he cried out to his Father, oh, the grace, the magnificent grace that's to be found in Jesus. He cried out to his Father concerning the perpetrators of this terrible, terrible act that they had just committed. He cried out, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they do. And so you see, people, forgiveness is a reality. Jesus is able to bring this forgiveness to you, to deal with the evil of sin and to reconcile a man or woman to God, however bad they have been. Now, the man next to him was an insurrectionist. You could call him, in modern day terms, perhaps a terrorist, someone who had created mayhem in society, and of course murder too. But he was forgiven, he was reconciled to God immediately he turned to Jesus. And I submit to you this afternoon that so may you be, if you will but in faith turn to Jesus and him alone. Because he alone, you see, has the ability, supreme ability, to reconcile a man to God, to save him. In the Bible, you can read these words, that he is able to save to the uttermost. He has this ability, you see, that nobody else has. Able to save to the uttermost of your sin, of your guilt, whatever your track record might be. It can be obliterated. It can be washed away in the precious blood of God's Lamb. Jesus is termed elsewhere in the Bible as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and he would take away yours. And this could be, or tomorrow rather anyway, it could be not just a good Friday, but the best Friday that you've ever had in all your existence. Peace with God, restored, reconciled, sin dealt with, the evil gone. And of course, everlasting and eternal life would be yours. And all for looking to Jesus. All for turning to him in faith. So this is what he means when he says, believe. If you can, he says. This is the work of God, he says, that you believe on the one whom he sent. If you can, all things are possible. Even your salvation is possible for the one that believes. But then, of course, something else that Jesus would have meant by those words would be believing that he's willing. And of course, well, I've already pointed you in that direction. An insurrectionist, a thief and a murderer, forgiven at the last. And of course, the pronunciation of Jesus, Father, forgive them. Does that not suppose to you a willingness? But let's go back a bit. Go back to the beginning. God decreeing from before the foundation of the world that he would send his son into the world to be crucified, dead, buried, and raised again for the salvation of sinners. And of course, well, fulfilling that promise, actually bringing it about. And the Son's willingness to leave the glory of heaven and to come down into the sin-cursed world and live amongst vile sinners. Does that not suppose a willingness on the part of Jesus to save? And then, of course, well, were you to read the Gospels, you would find Jesus on one occasion, and he's standing outside the gates of Jerusalem, and he's crying. Think about it. The Son of God is sobbing over his own people whom he came to, but they rejected him. Oh, Jerusalem! Oh, Jerusalem, he cried, how often I wanted to gather you to myself, but you, he said, were not willing. He said to the Jews, on another occasion, you're not willing to come to me that you might have life. You see, here's the problem. There's enough life in Jesus for five worlds if they would all come to him. And there's enough plenty for you if you would come to him. The problem does not lie in my Savior. It's not that the gospel's not effective anymore. It's not that it doesn't work anymore. Of course it works. The problem is that you're not willing to come to him that you might have that life, that eternal life that's to be found in him alone. But I tell you, he's more willing to save you than you are to be saved yourself. And then, of course, well, you can go again to the cross. Maybe I could recommend that you did that this Good Friday. Maybe for the first time in your life. Maybe attend a church service. And I don't mean physically, but in faith to contemplate what Jesus did that first Good Friday. And to think about it in terms of yourself personally. Not just the world in general, but you personally, and to marvel at the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, should have done this for you personally, that you might be saved. But then, of course, ultimately, when you consider that fact, when you loiter beneath the shadow of that cross and contemplate that magnificent, marvelous, astonishing truth that Jesus, the Son of God, should do this for you, does that not suppose a willingness on your part, on his part rather, to save you? Of course he was willing. No, the problem does not lie in the will of my Savior, still willing to save. And that's why he causes the gospel to be declared amongst you. And not just because it's Easter time. We're here quite regularly on a Thursday, some people will tell you. No, people, it's a gospel for all seasons, not just Easter, not just Christmas. It's a gospel that you need every day of your life, to the very end of your life. Salvation, people, through the good news, the gospel, faith in Jesus Christ. You see, that's the key. Faith, you see, opens the door to God's kingdom. But then, of course, well, you might ask the question, you might be saying, well, if that's the case, pray tell me, why is it that more people don't believe? More people don't submit to the gospel, the good news about Jesus? Well, the answer to that is unbelief, because they don't believe. And of course, today in the society that you're living in, you are permeated with unbelief. You're taught it from the cradle to the grave, the majority of you. You're taught this godless atheism, this terrible, terrible unbelief that keeps you from God's kingdom. But of course, you see, even there, God has given you some help. Were you to read the Bible for yourself, you'll discover, people, that God, he tells us that he has indelibly marked the souls of every man and woman who comes into this world, the very knowledge that God is. You can't escape it, you know? You may try to fight it. You may try to argue your way out of it. You may use your intellect and that of others to seek to explain God away. But God says, whoever you are, O man, he says, you are without excuse. You haven't got a leg to stand on. Why? He says, well, because of all the things that I've made, that God has brought into being. You look at the universe in which you live, and it screams in your face, designer, designer, designer. And people, the question that ought to be at the very front of your minds is, who is this designer? Who brought all this wonderful creation? Who brought it all into being? And of course the answer is God himself, through his son Jesus Christ. He did it. All things, the Bible tells us, were made by him, for him, and through him. Jesus, that is.
Are you a vicar?
What?
Are you a vicar?
I'm a minister. Not a vicar, no.
What's the difference?
A vicar is somebody who stands in the place of God. I do not do that. I'm just a gospel preacher.
So you know the Bible inside out?
Well, I wouldn't put it like that, but I know it fairly well.
What's an eye for an eye?
If you hit me, I hit you back.
I stab you back.
Well, if you like, yeah. But that's God's prerogative, not yours or mine.
No, but...
But what? Would you like to have a read? Thanks for the question.
I'll bring you back in a minute.
Okay. So where was I? Yeah. So you see, there's much help, but you see, it's to be found in the Bible. The cure, you see, the antidote to your unbelief is to be found in the Bible. That's why God gave us the book, you see, to cure the unbelief. You have the testimony, you see, of many, many years, prophets and apostles, and all their words infallibly, faultlessly recorded for us in the book that we have come to know as the Bible. And the Bible itself tells us how faith comes to a man or woman. It comes by hearing, or if you like, reading, coming in contact with the Word of God. That's why we come to you. Jesus has bidden us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And here we are doing that very thing, you see, and offering to you a copy of the Bible that you might read for yourself and see and understand that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world, and that through him that you might know God's salvation, saved to the uttermost of your sin and of its guilt. So you see, people, the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, deliverance through him alone, because he alone has the ability. And of course, well, he is more than willing to save. If you would but come to him, the Bible declares that the gospel, the good news about Jesus, is the power of God. If you like, the dynamite of God to blow you out of your sin and into God's salvation. The writer of those words, the Apostle Paul, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why on earth should we be? Why should we be embarrassed about standing under God's heaven and declaring God's message of salvation? There's nothing to be ashamed about or embarrassed about in it, people. Is God's message of love for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. Not just pardon, get it, note, but abundantly pardon. All of your sins washed away in the precious blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world for that very purpose, not to make men religious, but to make them, to save them, to rescue them from that certain and known danger, sin in the heart. People, not the religion, but a person, Christ. Jesus Christ, a person, not an instituted religion. And what he did, he died. And he died for sinners. That's the gospel. And who was it that he died for? The ungodly. But of course you argue, you say, well, I'm not a sinner. I've never sinned. Well then, there's no need of the gospel. You're okay. Isn't that what the majority of you say when you're offered a piece of literature? No, I'm okay, thank you very much. Would that you were. You're not. Not without the gospel, you're not. No, people. Jesus said, I did not come to call the righteous. That's self-righteousness. Those who say they're okay, those who say that they've never sinned, I've never done anything wrong in my life, I don't need to be saved. Well, that's self-righteousness, people. And Jesus has nothing to say to the self-righteous. He didn't come for the self-righteous. He says he came to call sinners to repentance. You see, people, it's bad people that Jesus came for, not good people. He's never yet saved a good person. He only ever saves bad people. So if you're a bad person like all the rest of us, then you need salvation. You need Jesus. You need the Christ of God, the Son of God, who came into the world for this very sure and certain purpose. So we offer to you a copy of God's Word, the Bible, an extract from the Bible at least anyway. Yours to take and to do with as you will, but it's God's Word. Read for yourself. See that these things are so. I'm not asking you, take my word for it. I'm asking you to read God's Word. I'm asking you to read the Bible for yourself and check out the evidence. Come back and tell me if you find anything contradictory in here as opposed to what I've said to you. People, it's the Word of God. It has the ability that no other has, and that is to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. You see, what does God want us to do? The people asked. He said, believe on the one whom he sent, that is Jesus himself. If you can, all things are possible to the one who believes in Jesus. Gospel is a part of salvation for everyone that believes. Faith. But faith, of course, in Jesus Christ, God's Son, and that alone. Because he alone can save you. He alone has the ability. But he's willing, more than willing, to do that very thing for you. So take a copy of God's Word home with you. Read and see for yourself. These things are indeed so. But of course you could go one better than that. You could receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Word, into your heart this afternoon. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Ask Him to be your Lord. Ask Him to deliver you from the evil of sin and to bring salvation to you. Cry out to Him. Oh, that men would pray. Oh, that they would believe. You see, unbelief, you see, is the one thing, the capital offense, the great crime. It's the one that keeps you from the blessings of God's kingdom, the joy, the hope, the peace, the forgiveness. All of these things, you see, are locked out to you because of unbelief. Faith, people, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. It's all here in God's book. You can receive one yourself. Just come and take it out of my hand. But in the same fashion, you can take the Son of God. In the quiet recesses of your own heart, ask Him to come into your heart and save you and deliver you from the wrath, the judgment to come. Whoever Whoever does not believe is condemned, and whoever believes shall be saved. That's God's message of salvation. You'd like to have a copy of God's word? You come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious and your perishing souls.